This is Hour 2 of Seems Like Old Times. I'm your host, Craig Orndorff. Glad to have you here this weekend, everybody, and I hope it's a great one wherever you are and whatever you're doing. What are we doing here? Well, what we always do, play some great records. And today, our theme is comedy. Some silly, wacky, and maybe a little off-kilter tunes that have made us laugh over the years. And for the countdown today, we've got the hit records from the second weekend of August in 1936. And we resume our climb on the Your Hit Parade survey from that weekend with song number 7, Is It True What They Say About Dixie? Here's the Jimmy Dorsey Band.
Does the sun really shine all the time? Do the sweet magnolias blossom at everybody's door? And do folks keep eating possum until they can't eat no more? Is it true what they say about 20? Is a dream by that stream so sublime? Do they laugh, do they long, like they say in every song? If it's true, that's where I belong.
Here's 32-year-old Jimmy Dorsey. Is it true what they say about Dixie? Number 7 on your hit parade this weekend, 1936, with vocals by Bob Eberle. This was the unit formerly the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, but Jimmy took over when he and Tommy split last year. And this is the band's first number 1, down after 4 weeks at the top spot. We're listening to the memories of 90 summers ago. And on the radio, Saturday night full of music. It begins with the National Barn Dance. And orchestras in the listing this weekend, Sammy Kaye, Smith Ballou, Hal Kemp, and of course your Hit Parade. And for you late night listeners, there's Lou Bring and Tommy Dorsey. Late Sunday night, there's Bob Crosby, Henry Bussey, Nat Brandywine, and Ozzie Nelson. We pick up news commentary from Lowell Thomas and Boat Carter. And the soap opera Clara, Lou and M is now a Friday night show. See what else is making news. Oh my, 17-year-old Gladys McKnight of Bayonne, New Jersey, who confessed that she hacked her mother to death with a hatchet, maintained in jail an icy steadiness that amazed detectives and attendants. Her sweetheart, 18-year-old Donald Whiteman, who admitted to holding Helen McKnight's arms while the daughter struck her time and time again, seemed much more upset. A policewoman said the girl gloried in her power to make the boy do anything she wanted him to do. The attack came after mother and daughter quarreled over the mother's opposition to Gladys and Donald's friendship. Meanwhile, a blubbering Nebraska farm boy went home in custody of his grieved and puzzled parents this weekend. He had threatened to kidnap Shirley Temple if she didn't drop him $25,000 from an airplane. 16-year-old Sterling Powell was so scared when he was brought before a U.S. commissioner that he hardly could blurt out his guilty plea. He insisted the letter was a joke. Marilyn Thorpe, the 4-year-old daughter of actor Mary Astor and Dr. Franklin Thorpe, replied yes when asked if she loved her parents and thus failed to take sides in the controversy over the custody. In the divorce proceedings between the two, the girl invited the judge to see her swans at her home on Toluca Lake in California. The judge said the girl was too young to understand what the case was all about. And from Canada, Oliva Dionne, father of the quintuplets, opened his refreshment stand opposite the Defoe nursery, home of his babies. He and Mrs. Dionne will be available to greet visitors and sign autographs. Time to make a little money off this international sensation they've created. Well, let's get back to the countdown now. Coming in at number 6, our third hit from Fats Waller, Crosspatch.
I'm flying around with you, but you're acting so smart. Shame, shame, everybody knows your name, Crosspatch. Don't you know it takes two to fight? Won't you kiss and make up tonight? You know you love to be loved, yeah.
Song number 6 on your hit parade this week in 1936, Crosspatch. That was Fats Waller.
S.C. Johnson & Son, because this is their 50th anniversary, are making what is probably the greatest free gift offer ever made in the entire auto polish field. Your dealer is beginning now to display a special 50th anniversary package containing a full-size can of Johnson's Auto Wax and a regular pint-size can of Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Polish. You get the wax free when you buy the cleaner. The price, only 59 cents. But the supply is strictly limited, and I would strongly suggest that you get your package early from your auto supply dealer, service station, or from your regular wax dealer.
Thank you, Harlow Wilcox, for those words, and we're right back on the countdown. Here's Benny Goodman at number 5, featuring Helen Ward, The Glory of Love. Benny Goodman holds 3 of the top 5 spots on the countdown this week. There at number 5, The Glory of Love, featuring vocalist Helen Ward. That was coming down after 6 weeks at number 1. Yeah, it's movie time. Let's head into the Bijou and see what was up on the big screen this weekend in 1936. First up, the cartoons. A couple from Disney. There's Mickey Circus. Mickey, Minnie, and Donald Duck put on a show for orphans. And then the gang has an adventure in the Swiss Alps and Alpine Climbers. There's Porky the Rainmaker. A huckster sells Porky Pig a pill for creating weather. And new from the Stooges, a pain in the Pullman. Mo, Larry, and Curly are wannabe entertainers.
See here, what is all this rumpus?
We're actors and we gotta rehearse. Say, who are you anyway?
I'm Paul Payne, the heartthrob of millions.
What's a heartthrob?
Pain in the neck.
All right, to the main features now. There's Green Pastures as black characters depict Bible stories. Anthony Adverse stars Frederick March, Olivia de Havilland, and Gail Sundergaard. Meet Nero Wolfe features Edward Arnold. 36 Hours to Kill, Brian Dunleavy, Douglas Fowley, and Gloria Stewart. Bullets or Ballots, Edward G. Robinson, Joan Blondell, and Bogey. Sylvia Sidney and Spencer Tracy star in Fury. From Hitchcock, Secret Agent, John Gielgud, Peter Lorre, and Madeline Carroll. The Devil Doll has Lionel Barrymore and Maureen O'Sullivan. And a light drama with a comedic edge, Susie, starring Cary Grant and Jean Harlow.
You better take that job in Paris with me. You know, they got dukes over there, too.
Yeah, I don't speak French. I might say oui, monsieur, to the wrong question.
You can wait till they say manger. That means eat.
Not a chance, Maisie. I'm going to battle it out along these lines if it takes all summer.
Who was it said that? Dewey at Manila?
No, it was Napoleon at Waterloo.
Well, whoever it was had the right idea. I'll get my show all right. I'm not so bad to look at, am I? I admit I don't dance much and I don't sing so well, but I can be awful cute when I want to be.
With Inez Courtney, that was Jean Harlow and Susie. And a few musicals this weekend. Poor Little Rich Girl, Shirley Temple, Alice Faye, and Jack Haley. Guns and Guitars, Out West for Gene Autry, Smiley Burnett, and Dorothy Dix. Hearts Divided has Marion Davies and Dick Powell. And there's San Francisco, with Spencer Tracy once again, also Clark Gable and Jeanette McDonald.
Hello, Blackie. How are you, boy?
Feeling pretty fit.
Oh, Mary, you were great.
Oh, thank you.
I had to battle my way through half of San Francisco to get here.
Father Jim, Blackie and I, we're going to be married.
Yep, that's right. The little girl harpooned me. Well, I guess you know how I feel about it, don't you, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
So she harpooned you, huh? A girl that any man in San Francisco would give his right arm for. But she had to harpoon you. Blackie, I'm not going to wish you the best of everything because you've got it already.
Thanks, Tim.
And one of the songs from the film San Francisco is at number 4 on the countdown this week. Would You? This is the Henry King Orchestra. You, the Henry King Orchestra with Joe Suddy on the vocals. Henry King was a pianist who led a society band that played smooth, danceable music, and they were the house band on the Burns and Allen radio show. And that recording of Would You, at its peak of number 4, would be the biggest hit for the Henry King Orchestra. One of the sounds of August of 1936 on today's Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, it's a comedy weekend. And here's a little historical humor from Alan Sherman.
Louis the 16th was the king of France in 1789. He was worse than Louis the 15th. He was worse than Louis the 14th. He was worse than Louis the 13th. He was the worst since Louis the 1st. King Louis was living like a king, but the people were living rotten. So the people, they started an uprising, which they called the French Revolution. And of course, you remember their battle cry, which will never be forgotten. You went the wrong way, old King Louis. You made the population cry, 'cause all you did was sit and pet with Marie Antoinette in your place at Versailles. And now the country's gone kablooey, so we are giving you the air that ought to teach you not to spend all your time fooling round at the Folies Bergères. If you had been a nicer king, we wouldn't do a thing, but you were bad, you must admit. We're gonna take you and the queen down to the guillotine and shorten you a little bit. You came the wrong way, old King Louis, and now you ain't got far to go. Too bad you won't be here to see that great big Eiffel Tower or Brigitte Bardot. To you, King Louis, we say fooey. You disappointed all of France. But then what else could we expect from a king in silk stockings and pink satin pants? You filled your stomach with chop suey and also crepe Suzette's and steak. And when they told your wife Marie that nobody had bread, she said, let them eat cake. We're gonna take you and the queen down to the guillotine. It's somewhere in the heart of town. And when that fella there is through with what he's gonna do, you'll have no place to wear your crown. You came the wrong way, old King Louis. Now we must put you on the shelf. That's why the people are revolting, 'cause Louis, you're pretty revolting yourself.
There's Alan Sherman from 1963 borrowing the melody of You Came a Long Way from St. Louis for You Went the Wrong Way, Old King Louis. That was from his 1963 album, My Son the Nut. Hey, here's another fun guy. It's Phil Harris.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Now there you can make no mistake. Where those nerves are never shaky. Ought to taste a layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams. Those sugar-cured Virginia hams. Basements full of those berry jams. And that's what I like about the South. Hot corn bread and black-eyed peas. You can eat as much as you please. 'Cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Ah, don't take one. Have two, they're dark. Dark brown and chocolate too. Suits me, they must suit you, 'cause that's what I like about the South. Away, way down where the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk on in with that southern drawl, 'cause that's what I like about the South. It's down where they have those pretty queens, keep a dreaming those dreamy dreams. Let's sip that absinthe in New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Come old Bob with all the news. Got the box back coat and the button shoes, but he's all caught up with his union dues. And that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street. Who, can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than eat. And that's what I like about the South. Now every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake your head and sigh, and I'll go walking right on by. Gone on, on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Do-I-Diddy? It ain't no town and it ain't no city. It's just awful small, but awful pretty with Do-I-Diddy. Didn't come here to criticize. I'm not here to sympathize. But don't call me those no good lies, 'cause a lying gal I do despise. You love me like I love you. Send me 50 PDQ, rose are red and violets are pink. I'm gonna get old 50, I don't think. She's got backbones and butter beans, ham hocks and turnip greens. You and me in New Orleans. And that's what I like about the South.
Phil Harris, born in Indiana, but he grew up in Nashville. And that was his trademark song, That's What I Like About the South. Now, the tune was written by Andy Razaf and first recorded by Harris and his orchestra in 1937 under the title The Groove Song, subtitled That's What I Like About the South. I'll give you a little taste of that. Bit of a different arrangement, and the tempo not quite as brisk as the more well-known version that he recorded and did on radio and TV. Well, we lost one of the comedy greats back in July. Bob Newhart passed away at the age of 94 on July 18th. He became known for his stand-up routines that were in the form of one-sided conversations.
We have had a problem lately in Chicago with people jumping off ledges. We've always had a problem with people jumping off ledges in Chicago. And so many so that the police department has come out with a regulation on how to handle a guy on a ledge. You know, the patrolman on the beat. The first point is never go out on the ledge in your uniform, you see, because the image of authority may be just the reason they're out there to begin with. Secondly, you should be very casual and never issue any direct commands to them, you see, never antagonize them. And thirdly, and this is really, I suppose, a main point, be completely unsympathetic, because basically they want to be talked out of it. So I would like to present a Chicago policeman under this new regulation. He sees a guy on a ledge. He slips into his sport jacket, and I think he would probably light a cigarette, and then he would walk out on the ledge, something like this. Oh, hi! You thinking about jumping, are you? Your first time, is it? Me? No, no, I'm on my way to work, as a matter of fact. I usually walk around the ledges. I find it kind of helps me unwind. I don't know. You don't happen to be in advertising by any chance, do you? Yeah, I was more than a lucky guess. We got a lot of advertising people out here. Oh, which way did you come out, by the way? Did you come out through the window or did you come around the corner of the building? No, the reason I asked, there are two other advertising guys on the southeast corner. I thought maybe... No, as a matter of fact, I didn't get their names. I think one guy had the Edsel account or something like that. You know, you're drawing a hell of a crowd for a weekday. Yeah, really. The last couple of years, jumping has really fallen off. I didn't mean it that way. No, really, seriously. You take 1929, for example. You literally couldn't get out on this ledge in 1929. No, we had people lined up in the corridors just waiting to get out on the ledge. Finally, we finally went to that numbered card system they use in the butcher shop. Do you follow soon? Well, you see the cart down there? Yeah, the hot dog stand? That's Sam, the hot dog man. Hi, Sam, how are you? How's the what? I just tell him, hell of a crowd for a Thursday, isn't it? Listen, have you eaten, by the way? Well, don't be so. Two, Sam. You want everything on it? Two with everything, Sam. No, to go, Sam, to go. Oh, some fink turned you in. Yeah, you see the guys with the net down there? Yeah, they're firemen. Yeah. I'll give you a little tip there. You might kind of edge your way toward the corner of the building, you see. Then they'll start to follow you. Then you run back here and jump. Well, they get all confused and they start pulling different directions. They'll never make it back in time, believe me. Don't be silly. I'm glad to do it for you. Now, listen, gee, I really ought to be getting to work, you know. I'd love to stay around and catch it. No, don't be silly. Take your own sweet time about it. Yeah, that is a long way down, isn't it? You're kind of chickening out now, huh? That happens quite a bit. You have a certain responsibility to those people down there, though. I some of them in there a half an hour or so, you know. No, it's up to you. I mean, if you don't want to, you know, you don't have to. Well, all right, sure. Well, listen, I'll get in and then you follow me, all right? Okay. Now, where the hell did he go?
Bob Newhart with Ledge Psychology from his 1960 album, The Button Down Mind Strikes Back. It's a day to LOL on Seems Like Old Times. We're back on Seems Like Old Times. I'm your host, Craig Orndorff, and today it's the second weekend of August, 1936. And let's take a look at sports. The Olympics were underway in Berlin, and for the first time before the games, the torch relay beginning in Athens. And these games were the first to have live television coverage. Germany would win the most medals with 89 and the most golds with 33, but Jesse Owens was the star of the games with 4 gold medals in track and field. And Glenn Morris, an auto salesman from Fort Collins, Colorado, earned the title of greatest all-around athlete, winning the decathlon with a new world record. In baseball, in the American League, the Yankees are 12 up on the Indians, while in the National League, the Cubs lead the Cardinals by percentage points and the Giants are 3.5 back. But the Giants are red hot. They have just won 7 straight games. They'll lose on Monday, but then run off 15 more in a row, and they would take the pennant by 5 over both the Cards and the Cubs. And the fourth World Series meeting between the two New York teams would go to the Yankees, winning in 6 games led by rookie Joe DiMaggio. Lou Gehrig's the top hitter in the league at .380. He also leads with 33 home runs, while the Indians' Hal Troski has 109 RBIs. Dizzy Dean, the most wins on the mound, was 17. Back on July 27th, Carl Hubbell of the Giants blanks the Pirates 6-0. That begins his 24-game winning streak, which would stretch into next year. And on July 19th, the Indians' Bob Feller makes his Major League debut in relief, going an inning, no hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. In golf, the U.S. Open went to Tony Manero this year, the British Open to Al Padgham. At the Tour de France, Belgian Sylvain Mas the winner. At Wimbledon, Fred Perry of Great Britain won the men's title, beating Germany's Gottfried von Kramm in straight sets. On the ladies' side, 4-time runner-up Helen Hull Jacobs finally takes the title, defeating Hilda Sperling 2-1. And in boxing, June 19th, Max Schmeling knocked out Joe Louis in the 12th round of the heavyweight championship bout in Yankee Stadium.
Schmeling got over 2 more hard right to Louis's jaw and made Louis give ground. And there Schmeling straightened up Louis with hard rights and left to the jaw. He has puffed up Louis's left cheek and Louis is down. Louis is down, hanging to the rope. Hanging badly. He is a very tired fighter. He is blinking his eyes, shaking his head. The count is done. The fight is over.
64% of all radios in the USA were tuned to the fight called by Clem McCarthy. And that's a check on sports from this weekend in 1936. And back to the countdown. We're up to number 3 with the Eddie Duchin Orchestra. Take My Heart.
Even if only to play with it,
go on, be gay with it, do with it what you please. Whether awake or sleeping, I shouldn't feel despair. Isn't it in good keeping while it's in your care? Oh, take my heart, I'll never ask what you've done with it. Go on, have fun with it, take it and leave it at ease, and do with it what you please.
Song number 3 on this day in 1936, the Eddie Duchin Orchestra with Jerry Cooper's vocals, Take My Heart. That's on its way up to number 1, making it number 8 all time and 3rd this year for the pride of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Well, let's keep moving up the charts here at number 2, the flip side of Benny Goodman's The Glory of Love. Again with Helen Ward, You Can't Pull the Wool Over My Eyes. Can't Pull the Wool Over My Eyes. Helen Ward singing with the Benny Goodman Orchestra, number 2 on your hit parade this weekend, 1936, and that's where it would stay. What kept it from the top spot? We'll find out, because number 1 is coming up next on Seems Like Old Times. We're rounding the turn and heading for home on today's Seems Like Old Times. And a couple of things to remind you, which includes the website. It's oldtimesradio.com. Go there and get information about the show, our schedule, our list of amazing affiliates, and of course the Listen Now page where you can hear previous shows whenever you want. We are on social media too. It is Seems Like Old Times on both Facebook and X. And you can send me an email. It's craig@oldtimesradio.com. All right, one more novelty record for today. It's one of my favorites. This one's for all you polka fans out there. Here's Jimmy Sturr and his orchestra. How married are you, Marianne?
I saw something I haven't seen in a long, long time. I saw a lady who looked like a woman who could drive me right out of my mind. But I also saw your big white diamond and your golden wedding band. I know you're married, but I've got to ask you, how married are you, Marianne? How married are you, Marianne? How much of a chance do I stand? On a scale from 1 to 10, how married are you, Marianne? See me looking at you with hungry eyes. Are you so merry that you deny me just one night of paradise? I wanna hold you, I wanna kiss you, I wanna love you all I can. I know you're married, but I've got to ask you, how married are you, Marianne? How married are you, Marianne? How much of a chance do I stand? On a scale from 1 to 10, how married are you, Marianne?
Surely, surely, you can see me trembling, trembling to hold you tight. I'm not talking about forever, I'm just talking about tonight. I want to hold you, I want to kiss you, I want to love you all I can. I know you're married, but I've got to ask you, how married are you, Marianne?
How married are you, Marianne? How much of a chance do I stand? On a scale from 1 to 10, how married are you, Marianne?
How married are you, Marianne? Jimmy Sturr and his orchestra from 1993, with a special appearance by the song's writer, Bill Anderson. We've had the comedy records out today, and we're going to leave them out for next week, too, here on Seems Like Old Times. And now, we're up to the number one song from the second weekend of August in 1936. But first, the news headlines, and we'll start internationally, where Spain's Civil War began on July 18th, when nationalist troops under the command of General Francisco Franco rose against the Republic. The U.S. proclaims non-intervention, so does France. Italy offers air help to rebels if France continues to aid Madrid, but Spain warns Italy, hands off or fight. 20 Italian planes have already arrived in rebel-held Morocco. They also tell the Germans that aid to insurgents may bring a European war. And some of the most fierce fighting is northeastern Spain, near Huesca, a city bordering on Catalonia, not far from the French frontier. And this weekend, 600 loyalists were killed by their own artillery. The slaughter resulted from a general mix-up of plans and information. Meanwhile, commentators say regardless of the outcome of the war, the Republic appears to be doomed. Whichever side is victorious will establish a rigid dictatorship, differing little from the regimes in Germany, Italy, and Soviet Russia. Democracy, they say, will be relegated to the dictionary. Meanwhile, here in the USA, August of 36, unemployment 16%. 38% of American families have incomes of less than $1,000 a year. The Labor Bureau puts the poverty line at $1,330. Now, on the front page of Sunday's newspaper, the president's popular vote majority has increased. But as of this weekend, polls show that Alf Landon has the electoral vote. Since the last tabulation, FDR forged ahead in Montana, Colorado, and West Virginia, but Michigan and Wyoming swung to the Republicans, and FDR also has to deal with a conservative Democratic resentment against the New Deal administration. Protesting party members this weekend denounced the president for fostering a, quote, blended communism and socialism, and they've set up a national Jeffersonian organization to oppose his reelection. But in the coming days, the president will reward the constituencies that he needs to win. Tons of federal money will be poured into battleground states, including those in the poor South. And that's what was making headlines this second weekend of August in 1936. And at the top of the music charts on your hit parade, once again, the Benny Goodman Orchestra with Helen Ward, These Foolish Things. Almost at the one-year anniversary of Benny Goodman's surge to superstardom. It was August 19th of 35 at Oakland's McFadden Ballroom, where the fans of his hot jazz went wild. See, the kids on the West Coast heard his Let's Dance radio program earlier in the evening than they did on the East Coast. And so as he began a West Coast tour, the dance halls were packed, and the media is now calling him the King of Swing. But they're a ballad, These Foolish Things, with 22-year-old girl singer Helen Ward. That's the band's fifth chart topper of all time, four of those this year. It spent 2 weeks at number one, including this second weekend of August in 1936. And that's it for today's show, my friends. We are all out of time. It's been great having you here, and I look forward to you coming back next week. And until we meet again, this is Craig Orndorff signing off for Seems Like Old Times.